The Joe O Show.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
You're listening to the Joe Ostrowski Show, nights on 670 The Score.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been here not doing an early odds. Bunch of shows planned this week. Tomorrow we've got 7 to 10 since the Cubs play during the day on Wednesday, a full 6 to 10 show. Not quite sure about Thursday yet, so because we don't know what time the Cubs will be playing on that day. Also been doing Bet Sweats, weekdays 9 to 11 a.m., live for free on the Radio.com app. Please subscribe to the podcast, and you can pick and choose. Listen to whatever you'd like. Joe Ostrowski here, Mike Rankin producing. I'm on Twitter, at Joe0670. Wasn't that nice? I have no idea if the Bears are real. When I say real, I mean a real contender. Pretty sure what we know the Packers are. We saw them improve to 3-0 last night. We don't know. But they're not alone. There's the Titans. They have a 3-0 record, and they've been giving up a lot of points. They almost lost to the Vikings yesterday. Last week, what was it, the Jaguars? They're 3-0, but they haven't covered a point spread. That's how close all their games have been, the point differential, minute. So that'll take more time. And I don't think it's really shocking. Maybe it is to some people. Because it's what Matt Nagy was able to do yesterday was amazing. I get you to that in a minute. But we could have pictured this. Whether you thought the Bears would win the North or not, I didn't think they would be in the basement. I don't think you thought that either. A lot of the national pundits were saying that. And who knows? They still might not make the postseason, and a 9-7 team will, and maybe an 8-8 team will. They might not make the playoffs. There's a lot of football left, and they've played three horrendous defenses. But we shouldn't sit here in awe and say, wow, I can't believe they're 3-0 when you line up the Lions, the Giants, and the Falcons. But the way they got there, the comeback victory against Detroit and Atlanta. And yeah, it's Detroit and Atlanta, and that's part of it. That's part of the reason we figured, yeah, they could start 3-0. Atlanta loves giving up leads. Back-to-back weeks. How does Dan Quinn have a job right now? How? How does Matt Patricia have a job right now? I mean, really. But yesterday, that's aside from the point. That's something we dive into probably midweek as we try to figure out what this Bears team is. And I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of guessing right now. Because we need to see Nick Foles against a defense that isn't missing half of their players, that can actually stop a possession, get off the field, and the opposing team has a week to prepare, because his MO is he's a great relief pitcher, but when he's the starter and defenses are planning, he can get hot, absolutely, but how's he going to be? And time will tell on that. But just to have a professional quarterback running the Bears offense yesterday. If you're like me, you were sitting there just smiling. Wasn't sure if they were going to pull off that victory. Wasn't completely sure they would pull off that comeback. Three, could have been four, could have been five touchdowns. But to have number nine out there, and wow, an efficient offense.
Yeah, so the as far as the quarterback, when I say the starter, that's with Stacy with Nick. He's our starter moving forward. I don't know if I was that. Sorry if that was unclear.
Was it a question? I was chuckling today. I said, "Breaking news: Bears starting quarterback against the Colts will be Nick Foles." Yeah, was that in question? When I have more time tomorrow, I might need to give Matt Nagy the lie detector test, because I know. Today he explained that he consulted with his assistant coaches, and then he went back and watched the tape on Monday. Dude, no, you didn't. You made that decision a long time ago. You made that decision yesterday during the game. You just didn't want to alert us to it. You were showing respect for Trubisky. But There's no conversation about the poor mechanics, missing wide open receives. Oh, hitting them in stride. Isn't that something? And when that occurs, we aren't saying, wow, that was a good throw. See, he has it. No, we're not doing that because Nick Foles is a pro. But the question we have is he going to be available every week for the Bears? That's it, man. Like, I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that Foles saves the team. They have a higher ceiling now. Absolutely. Higher floor, higher ceiling. And I thought that was always the reason, one of the reasons, that they decided to go with Foles. And I love it that we're going to have those that conversation now about, okay, look what Cam's doing in New England and how they're building a run-heavy offense around that and what the Bears are doing with Foles and their assistant coaches that are very comfortable with Foles. They clearly all wanted him, including Matt Nagy, all of them. The only guy that wanted Trubisky out there was clearly the guy that forced his head coach to play him, and that's the general manager. But Foles is not a top 20 quarterback. If you've been paying attention over the last decade, you know that. But he can get hot, and he's great off the bench. Now, the problem is, can he stay healthy? It's year 9, and he's reached double-digit starts in one season twice. 11 games is the most. Well, now we're sitting here. We want him to play more than 11 games. That's the perfect world plan. So how healthy is he going to be? And of late, like I don't think you go way back 7-8 years and you're going to say, hey, he broke his hand, a concussion here. Like, that happens. It's football. But shoulder, shoulder, shoulder. Last 3 injuries. Is he injury prone? And yeah, sure, I'd love to have a party and say that Trubisky era is over. But based on Foles' history, it's not over. The Bears are going to need Trubisky at some point this season. They won't need him moving forward because he's not going to be here. Unless, hey, there might not be a market for this guy at all. It's best for him to get out of here. But Cam Newton cost $1 million. Jameis Winston cost $1 million. How much are they willing to pay Mitchell Trubisky, some of these teams? But if Matt Nagy has a say, he's not going to be here at all. And we knew that last year. And I mean, unfortunately, we weren't able to see the practices. We had to go on what the coaches were saying, players, and the media. But how do you have a competition between these two guys? What we saw out of Foles. And say, yeah, Trubisky won. He won the competition. And you have the sample size of the last few years with Trubisky, too. Like, how did that happen? Yeah, he was forced into it. You can't argue anything else. If you can, come on. They paying you to say that? Really? So, congratulations, Matt Nagy. He became the head coach of the Chicago Bears yesterday. I know he was head coach of the year a couple of years ago. But it became his team, right? Like, he played this thing perfectly. He wanted him out last year. You remember that Rams game? And probably more times than that. Like, you can see in the body language. There are so many times he wanted to yank Trubisky and put a competent quarterback out there. But the problem is the general manager didn't give one to him on the roster. Like, Chase Daniel, that's your option. It's like, well, I guess I'll stay with this guy. That's really not an option. That's another coach. An advisor on. Like, that's not an option. And that's the way that Ryan Pace wanted it. But congrats to Matt Nagy. And I think all of us have questioned him in the last couple of years. Well, more so last year, obviously. But it's like, can we really evaluate him as a play caller, as a head coach, when the playbook is limited, when you're dealing with Mitchell Trubisky? Well, now let's see. And hopefully Foles can stay healthy. An efficient offense. it looked at times like a well-oiled machine. And I understand on the other side, there are a lot of problems with the Falcons. Even if they were healthy, that defense is terrible. And let's not get it twisted. I mean, when you win in this league, you take it and you celebrate it. But Matt Nagy was honest about this over the last few weeks. It's truly amazing. I mentioned that Nagy played this to a T, and he really did. So he convinces the GM to get the coach he wants and get the quarterback he wants and the quarterback his assistants want. All have experience with him. This is our guy. Do it. Give it the draft pick. Guaranteed money, fine. I don't care. That's how convinced I am that this is the right choice. We'll see. We'll see if he is. In the offseason, to the media, not just behind closed doors, but to the media, he's telling us that he wants Mitch to know the offense better than he does, knowing that's never going to happen. And so he'll have that on his side. He was able to bench 10 without losing a football game. Isn't that something? Two crazy comeback victories against terrible defenses, horribly coached teams, able to do it without losing a game, without losing any ground on the Packers. And now we sit with Minnesota Vikings in the basement, the team that came into the season as the favorite to win the NFC North, just ahead of Green Bay. That's good work, coach. Good on you, man. Congratulations. And now this is his team. Now we can truly evaluate Matt Nagy as a play caller. Could we really do that in the past? I'd say no. And it's all there. It's there in the numbers. It's there in the tape. The reason Trubisky was yanked. There's just no argument on the other side. Don't talk to me about quarterback record. That's not even a thing. Not with this defense. And then you see Foles out there yesterday. I was taking a look at the numbers. When Trubisky's on the field, I mean, first off, this Falcons defense, you didn't score a touchdown until after the two-minute warning against this team. In week one against Detroit, seven straight drives without a touchdown. Again, a repeat of last year, no touchdowns in the first half. Giants should have stomped them, put them away. Saquon Barkley exits. What do? They don't score a point in the second half, and he throws two picks in that half. And then Atlanta yesterday, 3-3 and outs, a touchdown and interception on seven drives. And before they made the move to Foles, I'm looking at the scoreboard, and Atlanta's got 26. And I think Nagy had the same thought as I did. With Trubisky out there, they had no shot at scoring 30. None. That's exactly what they needed. They needed 30 points to win that game. And Nick Foles was able to do it, and it becomes official today that Nick Foles is the guy. Just amazing. Now, I think we have to mention how many things went right for the Bears there in the second half. That's part of this. They're missing six starters, no Julio Jones, one of the most impactful playmakers in the game. During the game, they missed their wide receiver 3, Gage. Safety, Neal, exits. Their best defensive lineman, Grady Jarrett, left late in the game. I mean, that team is just, you watch them, like, how does Quinn still have a job? How 7-9, 7-9. How did they even bring him back for 2020? How long are they going to, is he going to live off that Super Bowl appearance? I mean, it's a joke. And things need to fall your way in the NFL. We all understand that. But it went the Bears' way. Like that, remember that near interception to Graham? Fumble on the Atlanta 9, and Anthony Miller falls on that fumble. A lot of times, luck. Ball bounces your way. Terrible tackling. That A-Rob touchdown. Oh, my God, that was embarrassing. The foolish play calling. Again, they're talking about making Dirk Cutter the head coach if they fire Quinn. What? 26-16, 3-and-out. Run, pass. Took a minute off the clock. It's 26-23, 3-and-out. Pass, penalty, pass. Took 22 seconds off the clock. Then the last drive, fourth play, interception. Thank you. Thank you very much. Just noteworthy how dumb of a team they are, man. It really is. But congratulations to Matt Nagy. Looking at the numbers, so when Trubisky was the quarterback, the offense had 4.5 yards per play. When Foles was out there, and I removed the three kneel downs at the end, when Foles was out there, 7 yards per play on offense. 4.5 compared to 7. I thought Albert Breer of SI.com, he made a great point about the difference between Trubisky and Foles. And we know. We understand. We've seen it for years. But he points out, the best example is in two identical play calls. With a minute left in the first half, the Bears called a shot play out a 1-by-3 look. The two inside receivers to Trubisky's left went vertical, and Anthony Miller got on top of the defense. Trubisky hesitated, clutched the ball, and threw it over Miller's head. Two quarters later, the Bears called a similar concept, dressed up a little different, with the outside receivers to Foles' left getting vertical, and Miller again coming open deep. This time, the rush got home faster, and Foles reacted faster, getting rid of the ball on time. And as he was taking a hit, Miller walked into the end zone for the game's winning points. I thought that was a good point from Albert Breer there. This is the Joe O Show. Talking some Bears with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. You can text me and call me, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Bears are 3-0. We don't know if it's real. Doesn't really matter right now. Step up in competition moving forward. They're going to face tougher defenses moving forward. Matt Nagy knew this, so it's time. Get them out there, and now let's start to game plan with Foles as our guy. Awesome Monday night game. Have a couple notes that I want to get to you on that with the Chiefs and the Ravens going at it. Go to the pregame coming up at 6:30 on The Score. White Sox, we have a pitching matchup for the next two games for the White Sox. White Sox play starting tomorrow. The Cubs-Marlins series begins on Wednesday. This is the Joe O Show, 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
I'm not an idiot.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
At the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and Nick Foles is out of the bullpen. This is what his career has been like, a fireman of sorts, if you have a baseball analogy, and Nick Foles is coming in. Here's the snap. Good rush. They throw as he's hit into the end zone. Touchdown, middle of the end zone. A beautiful thrown ball to Anthony Miller, and the Bears have the lead. In Atlanta, terrific comeback in the fourth, and Anthony Miller hangs on to this one. Nick Foles took a crunching hit as he got rid of the football. It fielded beautifully into the hands of Anthony Miller, running the post route out of the slot. A nice route run and a beautifully thrown ball right on his chest. The Bears get six. 29-26. Extra point is up. It is good. 30-26, Bears by 4 with a minute 53 left in Georgia.
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670 The Score.
There are so many head coaches. I mean, we're 3 weeks in. I was looking at it 2 weeks in, and I was ready to fire about 5-6 coaches. Man, that list is growing just 3 weeks in. One of them, not Matt Nagy. Joe Ostrowski with you. Got a few more minutes before we throw it over to Monday Night Football. It's going to be a fantastic one. You know, I guess there is that possibility of a blowout. I think there is on the Ravens side, not expecting it on the Chiefs side. It's funny because, so I talk about it from the sports betting perspective on my daily show, Bet Sweats, on radio.com from 9 to 11 a.m. with NFL analyst Ross Tucker. And as we were talking about this game, I mean, it's obviously the game of the week so far, the game of the year. Maybe it's going to be the game of the entire regular season. We'll see what we get tonight. But my first instinct was, okay, last week the point spread was 3.5 throughout. I know this today it touched 3. Ravens favored. Is, wait, you're giving me Pat Mahomes and I'm getting points? My first reaction was, oh, you just have to, I don't feel great about it because you're going against a great team. But you just take those points. You take Kansas City. And then as I started to break this down and talking about it today, just talking through it, I mean, it is these small sample size of two games. But the Chiefs have a lot of holes on defense, and this is not breaking news. But they were able to do enough last year. But even maybe they were looking ahead, but looking at that Chargers game last week that the Chiefs slept through, the rush defense was terrible, giving up 183 yards. Pass defense, that they have a lot of issues there. Where's the issue with the Ravens that really jumps out? I mean, you have the reigning MVP as your quarterback. And, of course, the Chiefs have a great one, too, probably a better one. But that defense is real. They're talking about run defense or pass defense. And they sacked Watson 4 times last week. 13 quarterback hits on him. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. But the Ravens are that juggernaut. I did want to get a couple notes in on the Cubs and the White Sox. So the White Sox start their series against Oakland tomorrow. The Cubs begin on Wednesday. Odds are out. I found this interesting. That the series odds have the Athletics as favorites. Remember, just 3 games, best of 3 here, all in Oakland. And the A's are minus 135 favorites. So if you want to win 100, you got to bet 135. And the White Sox are underdogs at plus 110 on points bet. But the White Sox are big, big favorites in game one because you have the pitching advantage with Lucas Giolito against Jesus Luzardo, which... okay, all right, you're going with the lefty against the White Sox in game one. I don't know how long you're going with that lefty, but you're throwing out a 22-year-old left-handed pitcher against the White Sox? Sox are 14-0 this year against lefty.
It don't matter. You know, he still got to come to us. You know, but, I mean, it's a lefty, so we'll take it. You know, nothing against it, but, you know, we have been doing good against lefties. And, so, I mean, I guess they haven't did their homework. So, hopefully, we can go out and continue to, you know, do what we've been doing against lefties and, you know, be able to come up with a win.
Tim Anderson today. Oh, I guess they're not doing the homework. I'm sure they're aware that the White Sox are 14-0 and they lead just about every offensive statistical category against left-handed pitching. And it was on display in this weekend series with John Lester, I believe, on Friday. Was that Friday or Saturday? That may have been Saturday. But yeah, Mike Rankin producing tonight. What did you think? Were you surprised that they decided to go with Luzardo for game one tomorrow?
Not really, only because he's one of their best options, and I don't see him pitching, unless he has success, deep into the ball game. I feel like he's just a show-me guy, and then they go to the bullpen.
Yeah, all hands on deck. That's the situation when you get to the postseason. And the Cubs are heavy favorites against the Marlins. Cubs minus 190. You have to bet 190 to win 100. Marlins plus 160. First 2 games of that series on Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday's game starts at 1 o'clock. Our pregame at noon right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Do not have a time as of right now for Thursday because we don't know how many games are going to be played on Thursday. If there's a Game 3, that will take place on Friday. Oh, it's going to be fun. 4 playoff games tomorrow, and then every series will be playing on Wednesday. 8 games. 8 games. Going to be fun. I'll be here tomorrow night, Sports Radio 670, The Score, following Bears All Access from 7 to 10. 7 to 10 tomorrow night. And in the morning, I'll be doing Bet Sweats on the free radio.com app live 9 to 11 a.m. with Ross Tucker. A lot of NFL, also some baseball there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Enjoy Ravens and Chiefs. Got the pregame, then kickoff right here on Sports Radio 670. The Score. Thank you, producer Mike Rankin. I'll be here in the morning on Bet Sweats and then tomorrow night at 7. My name is Joe Ostrowski. Keep it here on Sports Radio 670. The Score.